When I was pastoring, I would generally do a very specific thing about 2 months before my annual holidays. I would talk to my staff and tell them, look, it's the end of my year coming up. I'm tired. I'm probably a bit more grumpy than usual. So just handle me with kid gloves. Just walk around me and give me a bit of grace over the next couple of months because my tiredness is only going to increase. It's very normal for all church leaders, all people who are serving in the church to get tired. And with that tiredness comes demotivation. There's a lack of energy. There's little momentum and there's some grumpiness as well. And what can we do about it? Well, hi, I'm John Finkelde from Grow a Healthy Church. Welcome to this Build a Leadership Pipeline series. I hope you're enjoying all these episodes. We're in the second last episode, episode 26 of number 27. And in this one, I'm going to teach you how to motivate your teams. I'm going to give you three simple methods that will really help you maintain momentum, help you mobilize them, and also help you motivate them through those times of tiredness as well. Lastly, I'm going to show you a resource that I think can help you. So let's look at three ways to maintain momentum and motivation amongst all your serving crew. The first one is make sure that you keep the purpose, the why of what you're doing, not just the how, but the why of what you're doing, front and center. Daniel Pink, in his book Drive, talks about the three aspects of intrinsic, inherent, internal motivation. And they're mastery, learning how to do something, autonomy, giving space to express yourself. And the third one is purpose. When people forget the purpose, the why of what they're doing, and they're focused just on the what and the how and the when and the where, they get demotivated. They lose momentum. They forget, why am I doing this? What's the purpose? So you, as the church leader in your church, you have to keep bringing people back regularly to the why. Rick Warren says that people drift from vision within 28 days. I don't know where he gets that thought of 28 days from, but I think the principle is true and right, is that people move away from the why. They focus on the how do you do this? What do I need to do? When do I and where do I need to do this? And they can forget over a period of time, and when they get naturally over maybe towards the end of their year, tired and a bit upset, they get demotivated and they go, well, why am I doing this? And one of our roles is to keep bringing our church and the people serving, especially in our church, back to, hey, this is why we do what we do. And we've talked in previous episodes about the importance of storytelling, the importance of bringing good news to the fore, the importance of gathering with the people serving your church. And one of the key things you want to do when you're around people in the church is to remind them, hey, this is why we're doing this. This is why we're serving the Lord. It's rocket fuel, I think, the people serving. The second strategy to maintain momentum, to help people remain motivated and to reboost that momentum and motivation is celebrating your wins. Now, this is a really important process here because you can't celebrate a win unless you've determined and shared what the win looks like. I think it's important for churches to have targets, outcomes, objectives. Now, you don't want to go over the top with KPIs and come all corporate, but you do need to have some things that you're aiming to do. I think personally, a great outcome that churches should have is an annual visitor's goal to their church. Let's see how many new first-time visitors can come to our church. It's a simple objective. I talk it elsewhere, especially in my hub membership, about how to set that up. But you need some targets for your team, some outcomes. And it can be as simple as for the greeting team, right, this Sunday, a little chat before we get serving at the Sunday services, we're really going to focus high on engaging with a smile. And I want you to practice your smiles, work on your smiles. I want to see bright, cheery faces on all the greeters' faces, on all the hospitality team. It can be a simple thing as that and text everyone afterwards, hey, I was looking at all the smiles on Sunday. Well done. Those smiles are really good. It can be a simple, short-term win like that that's fulfilled within hours. or it could be something over a few months. We want to see in our youth ministry this year, we want to see 3 young people baptized. I mean, work out the win. And then when you get the win, celebrate it. Have a party. Enjoy the achievement. Now, also, can I say to you, when you don't get the win, bring the win back in front of people and say, well, we didn't get where we wanted to go. Why don't we analyze why we didn't get there? And that'll improve the performance of the team. Ignoring a win that wasn't achieved will demotivate people. It will suck energy out of them. And when you as a leader just ignore it, we're just going to hide that goal, that win that we set up, we didn't achieve. We're just forgetting it. We're ignoring it. That will demotivate people. But I think you can do that if you don't get to the win. But set yourself up for a win. Better to underproject and overperform than do the opposite. So set your teams up for wins and celebrate those wins with your team. I'm a huge fan of things like server of the term, server of the month, server of the year, if you like, celebrating whole departments. We've talked about this in a previous episode, but celebrating people in their serving, their faithfulness, I think is really important. Okay, the third strategy to maintain momentum, to really mobilize people with their motivation, is have an outcome focus. A really key solution to retaining volunteers, to keeping people in a serving mode, is to have an outcome focus. So what do I mean by this? Have you ever been micromanaged in a job that you've done where your supervisor, your boss, is just kind of looking over your shoulder all the time? You don't seem to have any freedom of expression. You don't seem to be able to make a decision by yourself. It's like they're not interested in just the outcome. They're going to manage the process to achieve the outcome. They're going to manage you so closely that you really don't have any wriggle room. You don't have any space to really achieve and do it the way you want to do it. Now, if you're a leader who micromanages people, you will demotivate them. You will demolish their energy. They won't have any momentum in their work. But if you're a leader who says, hey, here's the outcome we've got. Here's what we're chasing down. It might be the win that we just talked about. It might be another area of improvement or attitudinal shift, whatever it is. And then say to people, you work out how to get there. Now, it's not abandoning people to a process and not helping them. Some people need more help than others, but it is allowing people to go, you know what? I think we could achieve this way. And you as a leader saying, well, I think that'll work. Give it a go. Let's test it and see if that will work. Rather than going, no, that won't work. Here, let me do that for you. Oh my goodness, I've seen that. Leaders say, I'll take that back and do it because I'll do it better. That kills momentum. That destroys motivation. Be an outcomes-focused person. Now, you remember the Daniel Pink book I mentioned at the start of talking about the 3 strategies, the book Drive, a really good book on inherent motivations, what really drives people, what motivates them. The second one that he mentions, first one, mastery, getting skillful at something. Second one is autonomy. People want a level of autonomy. Now, you can't have autonomy without accountability. So it's not just, hey, do whatever you like. We don't care. No, not that. But there is an empowering delegation skill that when church leaders begin to develop and master this skill, you know what happens to people who are serving your church? They get motivated. They get momentum. They go, I can kind of do this in a way that achieves the same outcome that my pastor is wanting or my department leader is wanting, but I get to have the freedom to actually choose the journey that I'm going to go on to achieve that outcome. So there you go. There's 3 essential strategies to maintain momentum, to keep people moving, keep people motivated in their serving. Now, I've got a resource for you. I've written a book called 27 Ways to Build a Leadership Pipeline. And I think it's a great book actually to read with your team, to look through and the things that you're hearing in the podcast that you're putting into practice, that you're thinking about, gee, how can I make this happen? Look at the notes. There's a link to the book in the notes. Buy one for yourself, buy some for your team. And what I want you to do this week, after you've bought the book, well, even if you don't buy the book, think through these three strategies. What can I do this week to remind someone of the why? Think about that right now. Can you text someone, even right now, after you've listened to this podcast? You might even want to pause the podcast. You might be at the gym working out. Pause the podcast. Send someone a text, one of your leaders, and say, hey, I was just thinking about why we do what we do to serve Jesus. This is why I do what we do. And I just thinking of you, I thought I'd just remind you. You might want to send it to your whole WhatsApp group. Maybe there's a win you want to celebrate or someone you want to celebrate. Think of someone in your team is a little bit tired, maybe a bit grumpy, and just send them a thank you, an appreciation. It can be a text. Maybe even you think, you know, I'm going to send them a written note. My goodness, that is gold today. Maybe there's someone I'm micromanaging. Maybe a leader, if you even want to do this, if you want to do this takeaway, well done. This is really brave. Send me a message and let me know you did this. Is ask your team, show me where I am overmanaging you, where I am too involved in the process, not the outcome. Talk to me and show me. Be kind and gentle. Don't crush me, but just point out to me where I am doing some elements of micromanaging. You do that with your team. If you're a brave enough leader to do that, you may find out some interesting things that will help you become a more outcomes-focused leader. Well, God bless you as you build a leadership pipeline.